poetry.
I'm a writer for children and young people.
I'm a novelist, and the extract here is from my fifth novel.
This is World Words from the British Council, a 10-part series about contemporary British literature.
I'm the national poet for Wales. It's the west of the British Isles, near the Irish Sea.
In each programme, we meet a writer and discuss one of their poems or novels.
I spend most of my days writing poems or attempting to write poems.
Here's Karen Brodie with World Words.
Many of the writers in this series of World Words have taken us to locations that are familiar to them, but not to us as readers. Today's writer has gone back in time and researched the hidden and almost lost past of her own Romany ancestors. Although they came to live in rural England, they're descendants of European gypsies, or travellers, and they brought with them their own culture, beliefs and language. It's a strange and disturbing world that the writer reveals in this extract from her novel. It's time to introduce my guest novelist and her work.
My name is Louise Doughty. I'm a novelist. I live in London, here in Britain. The extract here is from my fifth novel, Stone Cradle. Stone Cradle is based on my own family ancestry, and in fact the main character who narrates this extract is based very closely on my great-great-grandmother, and we have a lot of stories about her in our family.
Before Louise reads this extract from the beginning of the novel, let me explain that the scene takes place outside a cottage in a graveyard in 19th century England. The narrator is Clementina. She is a young pregnant woman living with her parents, and her family speak a Romany dialect. I didn't actually recognise a couple of the words that are used, gorgia and mulla, so I asked Louise if she would first explain them.
Gorgia is a pejorative word for a non-gypsy. There is a big tradition of us and them in Romany culture. There's no Romani word for gypsy, but there's certainly a word for anybody who isn't a gypsy. And then the other one that's used in this passage is mulla, which means ghost. And ghosts are very important in Romany culture. A fear of the dead is very important. And contact with the dead is considered very unhealthy and a very bad thing.
So keep in mind those words, gorgia and mulla, as we listen to this extract from Stone Cradle.
Lyger was born at a time when little children died often. Rich or poor, traveller or gorgia, made no difference. If there was sickness in a village, it could come a-knocking at any time. Of course, it stood a better chance of getting in if you were poor. That whole time I was carrying Lyger, and we were living in the cottage in the graveyard, we would see them. The secret burials. They always happened at night. We would hear the creak of the cemetery gate, the turning of the handcart wheels on the gravel path. We would go to the door to watch. Past our cottage they would come, the vicar leading, praying as he came. Behind him would be a poor family, sobbing and sobbing, pushing the handcart with a little dead child wrapped in cloth and lying on it. They were the worst off of the parish, folk who could not afford a plot or a gravestone of their own. They must have begged the vicar to put their little one in holy ground, and he had found a way to do it. Him and his sexton together, they opened up a grave in the dark and put the little child on top and closed it up again. They opened up the graves in no particular order, as far as I could see. Whoever they belonged to, they just worked their way along the rows. After the first time we saw it happen, the vicar came over to us afterwards and gave us a coin, not to say a word to anyone. We took the coin, of course, but it upset my dadders. When they were gone and we were back inside, he said, didn't they realise if they kept opening up the ground, then the mullahs, the ghosts, would be getting up and walking abroad? He thought it wasn't good for me to see it in my condition. My unborn child would be cursed. But the next time we heard the creak of the gate and the turn of the wheels on the gravel, we still went to the door to watch, peering in the dark. I know it sounds peculiar, but I found something comforting in it. I thought it was good that these poor little children should not be put in the cold earth by themselves, but should rest in the arms of someone, even if it was a stranger. And maybe it was nice for the folk already in their graves, lying there alone for all eternity, to be joined by a little girl or boy who would keep them company. I thought it a nice thing.
Louise Doughty reading from her novel Stone Cradle, a novel that traces the lives of a Romani family from the 19th century until near modern times. We heard examples of Romani words, but does Louise actually know this language?
I knew a few words of it. I was never officially taught it. My father didn't really talk about his family background when we were growing up, but every now and then he would be chatting to one of my uncles on the phone and he would lapse into this dialect. And sometimes, I mean, we might be walking down the street and he'd say, "Dordy, Dick the Mush." And I'd go, "What, Dad?" And he'd say, "Oh, look at that bloke over there." But we were never really taught it.
Before we talk to Louise again, let's meet our readers. A group of international students in Botswana. They've been discussing this extract, and the fact that this novel describes a very harsh world was clear from the title itself.
The title is interesting because it's stone cradle. Cradle could be where the child is placed, and then stone is the ground, or it's very cold. So, you know, it's like stone. You say stone as in dead as well. That could also be a dead cradle.
The students discuss the eerie and gloomy atmosphere that Louise has created in Stone Cradle, with its location in a cemetery and children being brought at night to be buried in the graves of others.
The creak of a cemetery gate and the turning of the handcart wheels on the gravel path. She describes these sounds so vividly, and it kind of gives me the impression that everything else is silent, and all of a sudden there's a creak of a cemetery gate, like a place where dead people are buried.
The whole atmosphere is quite dark and sad because she has a grim setting, which is the graveyard, and she sets it off on a somber note right from the beginning because she starts talking about how little children are dying often.
She really has created a sense of place. The students were clearly struck by the cruel contrast of a pregnant girl, the narrator Clementina, and these secret nighttime burials of poor children in the graves of others.
I can imagine the situation she is in, having to watch children be buried at night while she herself is pregnant. It's quite ironic. I can kind of identify why she would want to talk about this.
Students talked about the macabre background of burying newborns and asked why you nullify the positive effect that could be created by the idea of a new life.
Well, the truth is, within this extract and within the novel as a whole, it's a mixed blessing having a child because, yes, it's a wonderful thing that he's being born into enormous poverty. He's being born to a single mother who's just a teenager who has no husband. And her mother and her father are going to stand by her and help raise the child. But they live in rural England in the 1870s at a time of history where one in five children died before they reached their fifth birthday.
Louise did a great deal of historical research before writing Stone Cradle, and although the specific events of the story are her own creation, she explains that in rural England in the 1800s, they really did open up the graves to bury babies.
When the poor children of the parish died, it was very important for their parents that their children should be buried in holy ground. So they would go to the vicar and plead with him to bury their children. And this did actually happen in the 19th century, that graves were opened up and the poor children were put in. When I found out this, I remember thinking that there was something rather lovely that these poor children were not going into the ground on their own.
In this extract, we have Clementina interpreting a situation in one way and other people interpret it slightly differently. I wonder if you could talk about how literature can be used to understand.
Well, what's interesting is that although Clementina is born into a very traditional family, she herself is quite an unusual young woman, and she does interpret things differently. I was very keen to do that within this novel because I wanted to show the traditions of Romani culture to readers who had never come across it. But at the same time, I didn't want to imply that every single Romani person thinks the same way, because they don't.
So what kind of character is Clementina?
She's very independent. She's somebody who's had an illegitimate child very young. She's somebody who's got to be tough to survive. So she's a feisty character, Clementina. I don't really like writing passive characters. I like writing about women who have to earn their own living, look after themselves, raise their children, and do all the things that so many women have to do all over the world.
I found it fascinating to learn about the world of these Romani families in the 19th century. And the students enjoyed the fact that they were able to learn about other cultures through reading.
As a reader, when you read that piece, you obtain information about their environment, and therefore you can learn about other cultures that way.
Learning about these things from their perspective, it helps us understand more about their culture and their way of life.
For Louise Doughty, researching and writing about the way of life of Romanis was important for two reasons. She was bringing a history alive that was being lost, and she was also rediscovering her own family's hidden story.
Well, I always knew that I wanted to write about my family history. But when my father was growing up in the 1920s in Peterborough, he told me you didn't mention to anybody that you had gypsy blood. You got a brick through your window if you did. So when we were growing up, my father was very, very keen that this was a part of our family history that we shouldn't talk about. Obviously, the minute you tell a child that there's a part of their family history they shouldn't talk about, they instantly become incredibly fascinated by it.
And is it important to know about your ancestors and where you came from?
I think it is for me. You know, we are made up of all our ancestors. It's not just our parents, it's also our grandparents, our great-great-grandparents going way back. And I think to me, to investigate those lives and to write about them is also a way of honouring how tough our ancestors' lives were and how much more privileged we are.
And it was a privilege to hear the story behind Stone Cradle. I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's edition of World Words from the British Council. Thank you to the students in Botswana for sharing their ideas with us. And of course, thanks to my guest, Louise Doughty, for helping us to see into another time and culture. And if you'd like to look out for Stone Cradle, the writer's name is spelled L-O-U-I-S-E. And Doughty, D-O-U-G-H-T-Y. And now I leave you with another chance to hear the end of that extract from Stone Cradle.
I know it sounds peculiar, but I found something comforting in it. I thought it was good that these poor little children should not be put in the cold earth by themselves, but should rest in the arms of someone, even if it was a stranger. And maybe it was nice for the folk already in their graves, lying there alone for all eternity, to be joined by a little girl or boy who would keep them company. I thought it a nice thing.
That was World Words with Karen Brodie. For a copy of that extract and more information, go to the British Council's website. The address is www.britishcouncil.org/literature.